Oh, hey there. It's been a little while. Let's kick off today by, first of all, just drawing attention to my own failure to follow through on my commitments. I know it's been a fortnight since our last episode, and I'm going to speak into that because, as many of you know, I'm very big on following through on commitments. And if for whatever reason those commitments aren't met, speaking into it and closing the loop on why commitments weren't followed through on, right? Because here's the thing, when we are not following through on what we commit to, on what we say we're going to do, we're out of its integrity with ourselves. And as a result, what happens is we stop trusting ourselves, we stop trusting our word. And then that has a ripple effect into all other areas of life, while simultaneously having other people begin to witness that they can't trust us either, right? That they can't trust me either. And so this is me speaking into the fact that, yes, my commitment was a weekly podcast episode for all of you. And for 2 weeks, I didn't remain true to that commitment. And so an apology, a powerful learning from it, and a commitment to ensure that I do what needs to be done in order to the best of my abilities, make sure that that doesn't happen moving forward. So now that we've got that out of the way, I am here in the Gold Coast now. I'm coming to you with this intro from the Goldie. If you're not in the loop, I've recently had a bit of a sea change, moving my life from Adelaide to the Gold Coast. Whew, and what a trip it was. I'm not going to dive into it too deeply, but I hope some of you have maybe followed along the journey on Instagram and Facebook, or followed along on my Instagram story. But it's been a whirlwind, and it's nice to kind of settle in somewhat for the time being. I have a few more travels coming up in the coming months, but for now, for the next 2 weeks, at least there's a little bit more structure to my day-to-day. So let's kick off in regards to today's episode. This was recorded some time ago, and this episode I'm joined by a client, if you will, Mickey McFadden, who worked with us through the Live Free Academy's very first Foundation Stones event. And Mickey is someone who I met some time ago when I was running a once-off kind of human optimization event. I think it would be a good year or so ago now, just at a local gym over in Adelaide. And we've sort of stayed in contact, and I've been witnessing her step up and do her thing. And of course, if you don't know Mickey, you probably should. She's a DJ, she's a radio presenter. Some of you may know her from the Baseline Market every, I believe, Saturday night on Fresh FM. She's a gym junkie, a gym enthusiast, as her Instagram bio would tell us. I'm pretty amped to share this little convo with Mickey, because you'll realize pretty quick she's got a pretty big personality, and yeah, I was pretty stoked to sit down and chat with her and kind of just pick her brain a little bit about what her craft, you know, music and entertainment actually means to her. Because, you know, I harp on all the time that it's easy to look at someone doing their thing from the outside looking in and thinking that, you know, it is a certain way, or I guess we kind of limit it in one way or another. But when we actually dig in and we realize like what the meaning behind their causes, what the driving force is, it takes on a whole new identity, I suppose. And this was something that I really wanted to dig into with Mickey. Now, the other thing real quick before we do kick off, I mentioned in the podcast, and I believe I've mentioned in previous podcasts, my ecstatic dance event last month in Adelaide, so September in Adelaide. And I wanted to include a couple of snippets, because I've had a whole bunch of inquiries coming through from people who don't understand what exactly the event is, they don't understand the purpose of it, or maybe they're a little bit curious and want to know a little bit more. So I actually, during the event, for both my intro and outro, I was mic'd up because I wanted to capture some of that free flow explanation of what the event's all about and I guess what you can actually get from it. And really quick disclaimer, because I do intend on running many, many more of these ecstatic dance events, because the transformation I saw in those who attended, the transformation I saw in myself through running it, and the level of curiosity and I guess inquiry around it really actually wowed me. I honestly wasn't expecting it. And I believe that ecstatic dance is something which has taken the world by storm, but it really seems that it's yet to really hit and really impact Adelaide. And that's something that I want to bring. Despite now living in Queensland, my intention is to continue to bring regular events to Adelaide. So I'm going to leave you here with a couple of short snippets from my ecstatic dance event last month. And they may appear slightly disjointed, obviously, given that there's no sort of lead-in context as such, but I'm just going to drop them and trust that you guys get what you need, which is kind of relevant in itself, and invite you to keep an eye out on my socials, keep an eye out, or an ear out rather, here on the podcast for any announcements of upcoming events, because I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that January 2020 we'll be able to kick off with another ecstatic dance event, and hopefully more of you can get behind it now that you know, we've had the first successful one out of the way.
Yeah, I mean, any stored emotion becomes part of our you know, biomechanical makeup. So we literally store it in our muscles, we store it in our cells, we store it in our bloodstream, our organs, all of it. You know, illness is generally a manifestation of something going on, of an emotional imbalance. And as you said, you can sit there and you can figure it out on paper, and that's just as good, but sometimes that doesn't cut it, you know? I mean, this neck thing, that's something that I've gone over on paper a zillion times and I just haven't been able to get it. And then one little, you know, funny spin and boom, there it goes. Yeah. I'm a big believer that we get exactly what we need. Even if it's not what we want, we get exactly what we need. So, you know, even though, and I noticed myself a little bit with the lights, that I kind of wanted to stay on this side of the room rather than that side of the room, because that was the side that was lit up. So, yeah, I think if we all kind of look at how we showed up, whether it was, you know, how we wanted to, or whether it felt good or whether it didn't, or whether there were moments where it felt good or not, how we do anything is how we do everything. So it's usually a big indication of what's going on. What happened in here is an indication of what's going on out there.
Without further ado, episode 86 of the Live Free Experience podcast, joined by Mickey McFadden, DJ and radio presenter, along with yours truly, your host, Brianna Bowley. Let's get this show on the road.
All right, Mickey, how are we doing?
I'm fantastic.
That's good. That's
how
good.
Are you?
I'm real good. I've, as you know, I've had a bit of a chaotic day, so I'm just kind of coming back down.
That's all right. That's what we're here for.
That's it. Cool. So let's start off. You're obviously kicking goals at the moment with your DJing pursuit. Do you want to tell us a little bit about, well, for the listeners who have been living under a rock and don't know who you are or what you're up to, fill us in.
Cool. So I've been DJing for about 6 years now, coming up to 6 years. I started when I was 19 years old and I turned 25 next month.
Yep.
It's something I'm quite passionate about. And when I was a younger kid, it was sort of one of those things where you'd be asked a question, what do you want to be when you're older?
Yeah.
So I always had visions of me. I actually originally had visions of me just being a guitarist and being up on stage
cool.
Just performing in front of people and just like jamming it out. And that sort of... I did pick up guitar when I was younger and I was playing for about 5 or 6 years, but after that, yeah, throughout my teens, I started to question and just be like, oh, why don't I DJ? Like,
yeah.
You know, something on the performing side of things and in the entertainment industry and that kind of thing. So it wasn't until year 12 when we had our research project and they asked us, they're like, oh, you know, your research project can be So it was a research and personal project, so you could choose whatever topic you wanted to study and learn about it and present it. And yeah, cool. What I did during year 12 was learning how to DJ.
Nice.
Which at the time I actually didn't take it too seriously. I kind of fluffed around with it like quite a bit. Looking back, it would have been nice if I did take it seriously and really took the time to understand it more.
Yeah.
Because I'd probably be a year ahead of what I am now.
Yeah.
But in saying that, it was all in good time, and it wasn't until after school, like after I graduated from high school, when I just turned 19 that I had my first gig.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I like, I remember you and I, a post I put up on socials recently, I'm going to completely fuck up the wording, but it was basically about how as an entertainer or as a performer, like the performance is secondary. You know, the kind of primary focus is about bringing people back to themselves. I can't remember, you jumped on there and you had your say, and it's fucking escaped me what exactly you said. But I feel like you have a really holistic viewpoint on your craft.
Yeah.
That you don't see it as just, you know, standing behind a freaking, you know, DJ deck and
just pressing play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
do you want to kind of fill us in on like what your whole perception is around your craft?
Yeah, so my take on it is there are so many more elements to like just saying that you're DJ, because, and I really loved how you put it, saying that like a holistic approach, because that's exactly what like the approach that I take and the attitude that I take on board. So it's not just about getting behind the decks, pressing play and waving your hands in the air like a freaking spinby. To me, it's more so how you show up.
Yeah.
Your presence on the night.
Yeah.
Presence is a big one for me.
Yeah.
You know, making it known that you're there. When you talk about energy, like having the right type of energy.
Yeah.
A lot of my sets that you hear, I don't play sad, soppy songs, bullshit fucking trash. Like I just don't do it. It's just not me. It's not aligned with who I am as a person. A lot of the tracks that I play, like for example, if I'm doing a private gig, I take at least the first hour, if not hour and a half, to play just upbeat, vibey house music.
Yeah.
And that's a good starting point, because it's a real like nice warm up into the evening or the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there you can kind of sort of progress and get a little more commercial or just play cool music and cool tunes.
Yeah.
So a part of my repertoire, I guess you could say. Can I use, is that the word I'm looking for?
You tell me.
Repertoire? Part of my package?
Yeah.
Something like that. Is really just, sticking to just keeping it like positive, upbeat.
Yeah, nice.
Happy vibes, but you know, still cool and party, that kind of thing. Just not playing trash music.
Yeah.
What was your question again?
More
than just pressing play. So for me, it's all about like how you show up, your presence. Attitude as well is something that I've taken on a lot more seriously as of recent. Over the past couple of months, especially, like, because it's something that like I heard a lot as, you know, a teenager, you know, in my young adult years or whatever, keep saying, oh, you gotta have the right attitude, blah blah blah. And it wasn't until sort of recently, over the past couple of months, that I've really been like, actually, well, you know, what actually is attitude? So like, I go to my computer and punch in define attitude.
Yeah, yeah.
And you actually get the dictionary meaning of what it is. Mm. It's all sort of how you meet your, sort of like your personality, meaning your goal, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what it is for me. Just the right mindset and the right frame of mind going into things and gigs like that. And I take that with me in any gig that I do, whether it's a pub gig or, you know, might not necessarily be the greatest gig in terms of exposure, but I still go in with the right positive attitude towards producing the best result possible for that time slot. So if I'm playing for 2 hours, I will give that 2 hours my best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think. DJing's like one of the things, you know, like there's that joke, like everyone's a PT, everyone's a DJ, everyone's a fucking life coach.
Yes.
and there's a big gap, you know, like I was a PT myself, obviously I do, and I hate the term, but the life coaching kind of stuff now. There's a big gap between someone who is a PT or a DJ or a life coach and someone who fucking lives and breathes it.
Yeah, sure.
And I definitely feel like you're more of the lives and breathes it than yes. just, you know, well,
the latter than the former.
Yeah. And I think like in my experience, people kind of go, well, that looks like a really fun life, and they see all the plus of being a DJ and they disregard the, you know, all the drawbacks.
Yeah.
The
behind the scenes.
Yeah. So what would you say, like, can you run us through kind of the behind the scenes and what it actually is to be a DJ? In your experience?
Yeah, sure. So a lot of what I'm doing at the moment is building my personal brand because that's what I believe is going to get me further in, for me in terms of turning this into a full-time career.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'd say I'm probably in the middle because it's like I am earning a nice income from it, but it's not enough to be able to support me fully at the moment while I still have my 9-to-5 job currently. So the idea is I bring it all over, so I'm spending a lot more time on DJing and playing gigs and getting more exposure, more recognized, getting booked for interstate gigs, and then eventually the end goal is going international.
Yeah.
So in terms of like the behind the scenes side of it, it's really just like how much you prepare. So I think there's a quote, what's that quote? It goes, if you fail to prepare,
you
plan to fail, prepare
to fail, yeah.
And like I find that that's quite true in not just DJing, but you know, comes down to lifestyle choices as well.
Yeah.
Because during the week I like to live a very active, balanced lifestyle. So for me, like my fitness and my health is priority. And that I find is what's really helped me, not just with life things, but like DJing on weekends too, is being able to you know, for example, I'm a very big gym enthusiast, so I love the gym. I go at least 4 times a week. But that in itself, just keeping my fitness levels up, building my stamina and my endurance and that kind of thing, like this equipment ain't it ain't light, you know what I mean? Like this is some heavy shit that I gotta carry around. Like I've got speakers, I've got decks in my road case, as you can see behind you. You know, so for like private gigs, I'm carrying around at least decks in a road case, 2 sets of speakers, 2 stands. So a lot of, my key to success, or my main ingredient behind it all, was keeping my fitness levels up. So the physical side of things, and then like the mental side of things, just being really mindful during the week, taking some time out for myself, like recharging, because although like I sort of see myself as an ambivert, so I'm not an extrovert, I'm not an introvert, I'm sort of like halfway in between. Mm-hmm. So on the weekends, you'll find me, I'm a very social person, like I can talk to almost anyone. So weekends, like especially during the week with my job, like, you know, I'll be quite social, go out, chatty, yada, 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 bit of networking, hey, how you going?
Yeah.
My name's Mickey. Yeah, and especially like doing like radio and stuff like that too, because you're just going to have that like upbeat personality.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of that, you know, sort of, during the week when I have my quiet times and my days off, I really use those days to rest and recharge. So that's from a lifestyle perspective. For me, that's like behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But yeah, also again, like preparing your music, depending on what type of gig it is, like is it a club gig, is it a pub gig, what time are you playing? So it's more so the time slot of the night too, because if you're playing an opening set, you know, you want to keep it fairly like chilled and relaxed, and for me, it's about a nice progression throughout the night too. It's not just like coming in and it's like, oh, you're playing 8 o'clock at a pub gig, or you're playing, you know, 10 p.m. open at a club night or whatever. You come in like guns blazing, just go bang, 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 bang.
Yeah.
Fuck no, you're out. Like, they'll just look at you and just go, what the hell are you doing?
Because,
like, people aren't ready for that amount of energy at such an early time slot. So, yeah, I suppose really just being mindful about the type of gig that it is, and then I can take into account the time slot and what the appropriate music is to play during that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, I mean, obviously, as I mentioned to you, you're the second interview I've done today, and I always get a kick out of like, you know, when you look at kind of a job role or whatever from the outside looking in, and it's like, yeah, like they just rock up and they just play some tunes and then they leave, you know, have a bit of a boogie, like chat with some people, get out of there.
Yeah.
When you actually like dig into it, you start to see, I'm a big believer, and you and I have talked about values in the past, and for the listener's sake, I always talk about, you know, your value system and how, the higher up on your unique set of values something is, the more kind of organized, the more disciplined you are with it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, talking to people from these different walks of life and finding out how something that looks like that to me, just walk in, play some tunes, walk out, there's like a structure to it and there's like a, you know, like a plan and there's logistics to it and all that kind of back end stuff that from the outside looking in, you'd have no idea what's going on. Sorry, you go.
I was just going to say, yeah, and that can be a real, you know, for sort of your standard common people, that can be a real misconception because they just go, oh, well, you just get paid to rock up, play some tunes, have a chat and then fuck off.
Play whatever you feel.
Which, like, to a degree, like, it kind of is that to a degree.
But there's more to it, right?
Sure, yeah. But for me, that's only like a small percentage of that. Yeah. So a small percentage, like, I'd say maybe that's, if I'm being real and honest, 30% of that is for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, the 70% of the time I'm actually really thinking about, like, track selection, for example, like the next track I'm going to be playing that's going to fit in nicely.
Yeah.
My transition, where to cue the track, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And also just providing the right vibe, because at the end of the day, like, I'm a big believer in energy and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And people can really read off you. So, you know, it's just going in with a positive mindset, and it's kind of funny, like, I suppose this is one of the reasons why I love it so much. It's because, like, it doesn't matter what gig I'm doing, whenever I rock up to it, I almost just, like, forget about problems or issues that I have at that time, and for, like, those at least an hour, if not, it's generally 2 hours for me, or three or four, however long, I just forget about everything else.
Flow state.
Yeah, and you can get into a real flow state, and I've experienced that multiple times depending how enjoyable the set is.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I'll just you know, you do have those moments where you can't be bothered sort of thing. But then when I really get into it and I'm like really sort of in the zone, I do discover that flow state. And I was saying this on I'd experienced this not too long ago, and I posted about it on my Instagram story, and I was explaining it to people. It's, for me, the flow state with DJing is when, like, you're in such a groove of it that, like, it just becomes easy and effortless.
Yeah.
And your track selection is on point. It's almost if you don't have to think about the next track you're playing because it's right there in front of you.
Yeah.
So depending how well you've organized your playlists, you know, you're thinking like, okay, what's the next track I play? But all of a sudden, like, you see the title of that track and go, oh, that's it. That would fit in perfectly. And you just go select, and your mixing's on point. And it's flowing, and, like, the beat matching of it, it's just, it's seamless. You know what I mean? It's like, because essentially that's what you're doing. Like, a DJ is mixing, like, there's an art to it, you know what I mean?
Oh, totally, yeah.
Yeah. And granted, it is a lot easier to do these days than what it would have been back then, like off of vinyl or a mixtape or something like that. But yeah, my point is just, like, it's sort of the whole seamless side of things, you know. It's like, you once you, yeah, you're in that state, you can go, oh, from track. And, yeah, the seamless side of things, you know, beat matched correctly. So it just, as a whole, it sounds like an overall nice package.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not just like, because when I was growing up, like, I went to a few, like, house parties and stuff like that. Or even town, and, like, you just, some DJs you see and you're just like, the hell did you do to get up there?
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, I remember this one particular house party, there was these two blokes playing, and they just had not a single fucking clue what they were doing. And I obviously in it to just be like, yeah, what the fucking best, like, DJ. And that's honestly what they were doing. Like, they were just standing behind there. It sounded horrible.
Yeah.
Like, it sounded horrible. And I remember sitting down with my friend on the balcony or the veranda, and I looked and I was like, they are really shit DJs. I was like, they're horrible.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't even involved with DJing at that time, but I just remember looking at them going, that was really fucking shit.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, whether or not I was, I'm certainly not as switched on or self-aware as I was then as I am now, if that makes sense. But, you know, from, like, a spectator's point of view, like, I can easily pick up on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Another instance, and this is sort of this something that I've sort of, like, brought into my later years now, wanting to make this a full-time career, is my 16th birthday.
Yeah.
This is a story. This is a fucking story. So for my 16th birthday, I had a me and my best friend at the time had shared a 16th birthday party together. And
yeah.
I was always sort of like the party girl during high school, where it's like I'd invite people around or I'd get something going. Like I just wanted like a big, nice big social event, social occasion, people could rock up and have a good time. So for my 16th birthday, I said, Mum, I want a DJ. Let's get a DJ involved.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, oh, okay, yeah, we can do that, blah, blah, blah. Bless her heart. So I think we paid like $400 or $500 for this DJ, and in my mind I was expecting, because you hear the term DJ and you just think someone's gonna be like really fucking cool that rocks up and just like smashes it out, you know what yeah. I mean? So this woman rocked up, and I actually didn't know who she was at the start. I'm like, who is this woman?
Yeah.
Because like I'm not a judgmental person, but for the listeners, I'll describe what she looked like, and for yourself too. So she was probably like, I want to say middle-aged Karen, but maybe like just underneath that. Like she looked like she was in her late 20s.
So I love that you say the name Karen.
Karen.
And like, I instantly have an image.
Yeah, right? Like she looked like a Karen. Like she looked like a fucking Karen, or like something like a Carol or a Susan or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, she had like probably like a bit of a bob haircut, a blonde.
That's exactly what I've gone for in my head.
Yeah, bob. Sure. Yeah. So yeah, it was like Karen blonde. she wasn't wearing the coolest clothes. Like she's just sort of like looked like she just like chucked on some slacks or whatever, like long sleeve black shirt. But what got me wasn't even what she was wearing. Her backpack. This woman looked like she was in like her late 20s, early 30s. She had a fucking Tweety backpack on.
Oh fuck.
A fucking Tweety backpack, and I just looked at her, I was like, oh shit, like, where did you find this woman, like, where did you book her from, and like, some company at the time, or whatever, some entertainment company. Anyways, the whole night, it wasn't even DJing to me, because I was like, all she was doing, fuck knows what her setup was at the time, because I was 16 and wasn't really paying attention, but all she was doing was selecting CDs, pressing play, eating tuna sandwiches the whole night, and not even using headphones. And I'm thinking, what the fuck? Like, you can't just... That's not a DJ.
Yeah.
We didn't pay you $400 to $500 to, like, stand there and just, like, fucking eat your tuna sandwiches and press play on some CDs without headphones with your Tweety backpack. What the hell? And I was just so gobsmacked from that. And I was just like, if I'm ever a DJ one day, that is, like... I'm never going to be like, that is like the complete opposite of what I would be wanting to represent myself as.
Yeah.
As a DJ.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny because like I sort of think back to that moment from time to time and go, okay, well, for comparison purposes, I'm doing a hell of a lot better than like someone like that would have. And I just remember saying like, I would never ever be that like... For me to DJ, like, I want to be able to do it properly. And when I first started out, like, I've got videos from when I first started out that I look back on, and it's pretty funny because it's, like, I didn't know what I was doing. But, of course, I was a beginner, so I was, like, learning the basics of it. And it's just funny to watch videos of me back then when I was 19 to now I can watch a video and be, like, fully, completely confident in myself, my skills and abilities to be able to know what I'm doing and do it well.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Just go from there.
So. It spins me out how much, like, for me as a coach, I guess I kind of have the same experience where I get into a flow state where, you know, like someone will come to me and be like, here's what's going on for me. I'm like, bang, bang, bang. Here's what we need to do. Done.
Mm.
Catch you later. And it's only been recently as I've started bringing people on board and, you know, like training up other coaches that I'm like, fuck, I have to like break down something that I do naturally and explain it to them. And, you know, and I have the people that I have mentored, they'll hit me up with a question and, you know, it's like, oh, how would you do this, Brie? Or if someone asks this question, what would you do? And I'm like, well, obviously, like in my head, I'm like, obviously, da 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 da.
Sure.
And it's crystal clear. But I'm like, how do I then break that down and share that?
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it's interesting to hear that from you in terms of the DJing that, you know, it's something that kind of comes naturally to you, but at the same time, like, there is a sequence to it or a structure to it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I think, with what you're saying with your life coaching, like, there's, even DJing, like, there's, I suppose, to a degree, there's, like, a science behind it too.
Yeah, totally.
If you are to break it down to someone, like, yes, it comes as second nature now, but that's only because I've been doing it for it's almost 6 years, and yourself for however long you've been doing your coaching for. So obviously, like, you know, you kind of think back to when you first started and just know that it wasn't as, like, at one point in time you sort of viewed that thing as being really difficult. But now it just sort of, it's second nature, and just you can do it. Like reading the back of your hand, for example.
Yeah, I think totally. That's a phrase.
Like the back of your hand?
Nailed it. Fuck, you just threw me off. What was I going to ask? Okay, so you said about the self-promoting stuff.
Yes.
And this is, I mean, obviously you attended our event for the Live Free Academy and came along and learned a lot about the stuff we were trying to share about, you know, personal branding and all the back-end side of being an entertainer or an athlete or a business owner. What I'm seeing more and more of as I, like, discuss this stuff with up-and-coming personalities and people like yourself is that self-promotion is one thing, and people often understand the importance of self-promotion, but it's having the fucking confidence to do it. You know, and I hear it often where it's like, well, I want to get in front of the camera or whatever and do the Instagram stories, but I feel like a dickhead, or I feel like, you know, as soon as you hit record, suddenly it's staged and it's not natural anymore.
Yeah.
Did you have that experience?
Initially when I was first starting out, yes, but, being involved with, Fresh 97, local community radio station in Adelaide, I really treated that as my training ground when I first started getting into, like, presenting on air and, for the listeners, I do have my own radio show.
we haven't touched on that yet.
No, we're just touching on that now. but yeah, my show is called The Baseline Market. It runs every Saturday night from 11 to 1, and I've been involved with Fresh for 5 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really treated in terms of, like,
sneaky plug.
Sneaky plug, just like segue. but yeah, like, in terms of, what you're saying, like, self-promotion. So I really treated Fresh as my, training ground with that. And I was, I suppose, luckier than other individuals to be able to have that I could just sort of test the waters with. Because I used to run a show for a little bit on Monday nights for about a year and a half, almost 2 years, called The Come Up. And the idea behind that was, each month a new resident comes in, like a local artist or a guest DJ, and it's their month to, you know, showcase what they have in their sound, their talent, whatever. So I was used to, you know, meeting a lot of people because I was with that show, I think, for almost 2 years, maybe a year and a half. But a lot of that would be getting behind social media and Snapchat and stuff like that. And it's a shame Snapchat isn't as good as what it used to be when they did that update. And I just feel like after that update, the whole thing's kind of gone to shit and no one really uses Snapchat as much as
I think Instagram kind of, the Instagram stories.
Well,
kind of killed Snapchat a little bit.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so that was kind of like the nail in the coffin for them, I feel. Like, Instagram stories has definitely taken over from that. But yeah, like, with this Monday night show, I'd have to promote the artist, but at the same time, it would be promoting myself as well, because I'd be the one that's getting behind the camera. And,
totally.
You know, I suppose initially I did have that, you know, that sense of, you know, doubt or what you're doing, you're like, is it good enough, like, how are people going to perceive you? But I just got over that really quickly, because I'm like, well, no, like, this is what I want to do, and if I want to be able to do more of this, I'm gonna have to learn to get comfortable with this.
Yeah,
and now I just don't care, like, I just fucking do it, and I just don't really think twice about it, you know. So yeah, I do that quite often now on my own personal accounts, and in particular my Instagram stories. I know you do it quite often too. But it's good, because I think, to me, like, that displays confidence, and that, to me, like, it's something I probably, if I didn't treat Fresh, as, or if I didn't really use Fresh those times when I was just starting out with, like, presenting on air and that kind of thing, I wouldn't have been able to do it as well as I do now.
Yeah.
But I've really, even just on my personal Snapchat, like, Snapchat to me is, I just don't give a shit about it anymore. I'll fucking post anything on there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instagram stories, I sort of, like, cater my audience a little bit, because I know there's a hell of a lot more people that I have on Instagram than Snapchat.
Yeah.
Like, so many more. So I'm just like, from that perspective, I'm just like, okay, well, I can't post whatever I want. I have to keep it, you know, somewhat tame. But of course, like, I don't want to give out all my secrets at the same time as well. So it's like, I don't want to, you know, tell the world everything that I know, because you're going to keep some of that special sauce recipe to yourself. You know? Like, spicier than your nan's hot sauce recipe. That's my new, like, saying. Like, spicier than your nan's hot sauce recipe, mate. Anyways, that's just me in a summed up nicely. In a nutshell.
What is happening anyways. Right now?
I don't know. This is just me. I'm just, like, playing off. fuck. Spicier than your nan's hot sauce
recipe. Yeah. Okay, so. I've got that one. Locked in.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
sure.
So in answer to your question, yeah, self-promotion, like, just getting behind the camera and stuff like that, I've got no issues with.
Yeah.
I do certainly want to do more of it because, for me, I feel like I just need the more content to put out. And once I have that content, then I can get on my way with.
With Fresh,
yes.
Did you have, because I don't know how it works back there, do you know, like, how many viewers are watching or tuning in? Or is it, you got no idea? This is a segue into my next question.
Sure. So you mean,
like,
when I'm on air?
Yeah, like, do you know how many people are tuning in?
Off the top of my head, no.
Okay.
If I was to ask someone at the station, saying, because we do surveys and stuff like this, and I know, like, the digital team, like, they generally, I don't even know how they get the figures, to be honest. But they do know the particular amount of listeners that are tuned in at certain time slots throughout the week.
Yeah.
So, for example, they'd know, like, how many people listen on a Monday morning compared to a Saturday night.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I believe the Saturday night listenership is quite large, obviously because it's Saturday night, everyone's going out, you're partying.
Free drinks!
Yeah, literally, free drinks, rah, like, fucking shuck his name. Cut the cruises and she's right. I'm more of a beer drinker myself, but anyways, you can save me a sissy drink for yourself.
Anyways. Yeah, no, because the reason I ask is because I think, like, for me, with the whole self-promotion stuff, I was lucky with the podcast that, like, the very first one I did, even though I had it in my head that, like, yeah, I'm going to post this one episode and that shit's going to go fucking viral.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
No.
And so I think I was eased into self-promotion. Like, you know, like, I started off with my, you know, my regular little, like, stories just on Snapchat. And I think I had, like, 25 followers. And then I watched that go up to 50 and then eventually, you know, 100 and then up in the hundreds.
Yeah.
And then when Instagram introduced their Instagram stories, I was like, and I kind of sat on the fence for it for ages because I knew my following on Instagram was way bigger than my following on Snapchat.
Sure.
So I was kind of eased in and it was sort of a slow progression. And even with the podcast, you know, the platform, it started off, my first episode had fuck all plays.
Yeah.
And slowly I've grown the audience over time.
Yes.
So I consider for you, like, going into a... straight off the bat, going into a radio station where they already have a consistent following, like, I feel like that's a real fucking jump off the deep end, or into the deep end, rather.
Yes. Yeah, I do agree with that. It's kind of funny that you ask that question because sometimes I don't really, I don't want to sound like, you know, like I'm blowing my own horn.
Go for it. Toot your own
horn. Toot my horn. I do at some points. Other times I don't. This is one of those moments where I'm just like, sometimes I don't fully understand, like, the effect or the magnitude that I hold.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, I'm either underestimating myself or I'm just sort of like, I suppose somewhat blissfully unaware of how many people know about me because I just do my thing at the end of the day and I don't really think twice about it sometimes. I'm just like, nah. This is what I want to fucking do. This is how I'm going to fucking do it.
Yeah.
And I just do it. And then it's sort of when you have those moments where it's like I get approached by people in public a lot of the time or when I'm at a festival, for example, or out in town, like quite often I get approached by a lot of people when they go, oh, Mickey, like you're Mickey from Fresh, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, you're so
famous.
Yeah, yeah. I actually feel like this low-key, like, secret celebrity. I'm like, oh my God, I'm a celebrity? What's this? I don't know if you know about me. But... you know, so, like, I suppose that is, like, it's obviously very positive because it's an indication to me that I'm doing the right things.
Yeah.
I'm getting my name out there, which is essentially, that's what you want. Like, that's, at the end of the day, that's what you're setting out to achieve is to, you know, make something of yourself.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, I suppose for me it's, like, I don't know if I underestimate myself. I just think I'm very, sometimes I'm just, like, unaware of like how many people are aware of it. Does that make sense? I'm unaware of the people that are aware of it.
Because I get the same thing with the podcast and it still fucking throws me every time. Yeah. Where I'll go out somewhere and someone will come up and be like, Brie, like, and they, because obviously, you know, like I share a lot of myself on this, they'll come up to me and they'll start talking to me as though they know me really well. And they're telling me these things that they've obviously heard from the podcast, but I'm like, I don't recognize your face. Like, it's kind of, it's the first time it fucking happened. It floored me because this dude came up to me and was like, Brie, like, you know, I fucking love your show, rah, 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 and was, you know, chatting to me about these things I talked about on the show. And I was like, I don't fucking know your name. I don't know how many of the episodes you've listened to, so I don't know what you know, what you don't know. And it floored me.
Yeah.
Like, and it was almost, it was this big feeling of like, and I don't know whether you experienced this, but it was a feeling of actually being exposed.
Okay.
Where I was like, shit, like like it made me step back and reconsider the podcast, if I'm honest, because I was like, fuck, like
exposed.
Like, I feel like I don't know this dude, but he knows me. But I'm getting more and more used to that, and it's starting to become something that I enjoy, or more than enjoy. I love it. It has its drawbacks, as anything does, but it's something that I'm realizing the level of influence and the level of potential to create a real ripple effect in the world. Just through like me sitting here and just having conversations with like fucking cool people, you know?
Yeah, totally. I think it also, just touching on that, like for me, you know, I suppose it comes down to like your beliefs and your philosophies in life, but a lot of what I'm doing at the moment as well is to, once I'm not saying that I've made it at all. I have my achievements along the way, but in my eyes and in my mind, I still got a hell of a long way to go to get to where I want to be. Because like,
well, and even once you get to where you want to be, it fucking moves. Like that's the gift of life.
Yeah. So like, I feel like at the moment with a lot of the work that I've been doing, recently, I'm sort of on the cusp of something. Like I can sense something coming up. Yeah,
I know those feels.
Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, something big's about to happen in the next couple of months, or, you know, over the course of the next 6 months.
Yeah.
And that should be like a real turning point for me.
Yeah.
And once I reach that and achieve that, then I, you know, it's getting to the next level and the next level from there.
Yeah.
But you really do have to take credit for the amount of work that you've done to get yourself to this present moment, and then think about your future goals and how you're going to achieve them, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But touching on what you were just saying before, like in terms of influence, like a lot of like, you know, the philosophies that I carry is through this work, I want to be able to like, it sounds cliche, but you know, positively impact people's lives and help them along the way too. So it's not just about, you know, what's in it for you and, you know, you're sort of taking, but you got to give and reciprocate those, you know, helping people achieve what they want to set out to do.
Yeah, totally.
Because a lot of that is for me as well. It's because, like, I love what I'm doing, but I also love helping other people get to achieve their goals.
Yeah.
And it's about building people and helping them along the way too, like building people up and, like, you know, assisting them as much as possible. Because at the end of the day, you're all in this together, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. And I sort of, with my work, I really sort of cross over between like health and fitness at the gym, even with what you're doing, although I don't, you know, I don't do it as a full-time job like with what you do, but there are parts of that, like, you know, helping people reach their potential and seeing the best in people and, you know, like nurturing that sort of seed of potentiality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. All right.
Swish.
Yes. Woo. yes, yeah, so, you know, just like nurturing that seed of potentiality within people, because I think that's probably one of the gifts that I have is like, because I see that in myself, like I know that I've got a tremendous amount of potential in me, and it's just about bringing that out and not only, nurturing that, but like seeing it in other people and helping them unlock that potential and using it to the best of their abilities.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. I think that's, again, having worked with so many influencers, whether they be entertainers or athletes or business owners or whatever, I think that people tend to downplay their craft.
Sure.
Like they go, totally. Oh, I'm an MMA fighter, or I'm a DJ, or I run a fucking, I don't know, whatever, I run a cafe or whatever it might be, whatever the business might be, and they think that's it, you know? And it's like, nah, man, like, stop underestimating the impact and the ripple effect that has. Because I think, you know, like DJs, it's about lifting frequency and it's about having people tune back into themselves. You know, I think for a lot of MMA fighters, it's or, you know, fighters in general, any combat sport, it's about creating a platform for the masculine to express itself in a safe way. You know, I think a lot of sports encourage people to look at their own potential. Maybe the audience doesn't always receive it, but on some level it's moving something. And so, yeah, I really think, and I know I did this for ages as a coach, or even when I was back, you know, back in the day, fitness modeling, I underestimated just how much what you think is just your standard day-to-day stuff, like the value it creates in the world, you know? And it wasn't until when I first got into kickboxing, I used to just put up like training videos, and it wasn't until I was sitting in a cafe, having a meeting for an event I was running, and I had there's a chick sitting across the cafe from me, and I was deep in conversation, you know, in this meeting, but every time I looked up, she was looking at me, and I was like, what's going on here? Like, and you know, I'd kind of go back to my conversation, and then I'd kind of, you know, sneak a glance. I'm like, she's still looking at me. What's going on? Anyway. And so she's got up to leave, and as she's, because she had to walk past us to leave, she's kind of stepped in and gone, I'm really sorry to interrupt your conversation, but she's like, you know, I follow you on social media and I see all your training videos, and she's like, I just want to say, like, you inspire the shit out of me.
Oh, cool.
You know, and I was like, fuck, like, here I was just posting these, you know, Instagram and Facebook videos of me hitting some pads because that was the shit I enjoyed. Not knowing, you know, that there's some woman who I've never met before watching them being like, fuck yeah, you know. And that created a spiral for her, and she's now out there, you know, running this epic business doing what she loves as an artist.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, that was a fucking word bomb, but
No, that's all right.
Yeah, I think I like that you do see and are conscious of the impact you have beyond just being a DJ.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things that I value quite a bit, and it is like obviously lifting people up and like encouraging them to follow their dreams and their goals and that sort of thing, but I don't want to say the word in case I get it wrong. I'm a huge, in case I sound like an idiot, I'm a huge supporter of like women and women's rights and that kind of thing. So I really love women who support other women.
Yeah.
Just encouraging them, because it's like, you know, it's one thing to encourage everybody, but I suppose being female myself, I recognize other females and other women.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, especially in the gym, I'm so mindful and conscious of that, because, you know, sometimes depending on the day or the time, whatever, you have, you know, in particular in like the free weights section, for example, there's just a whole lot of boys, and I'll like be the only chick. So I'm walking around with my big clit energy, just like fucking all the males, like my silent, like my subtle, like like fingers to all the males, not really, because I'm probably lovely dudes, but at the end of the day, I'm the only woman in there, I've got to really put on my front. But you know, like the flip side of that is when you do like, this morning, for example, when I was training, there was the free weights was just all full of females. Instead of being like, you know, standoffish and, oh, you know, there's other people here and copping all those weird looks and shit, I just smile at people.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, like, you're all there for the same reasons. Yeah. And you want to achieve the same thing, whatever your goal is. But I think if you make it a nice, welcoming environment to people and you just acknowledge them, like, acknowledge their presence, smile.
Yeah.
You know, and that to me, like, I do that with females especially, because it's like, I'm the woman in me is recognizing the woman and the feminine in them.
Yeah.
You know? So that's something that I'm, like, a huge supporter of as well. Yeah. And, like, especially with DJing, like, it's such a male-dominated industry, you know what I mean?
But
I've always been that, like, you know, when I was younger, that girl or that female or that woman who'd just be, like, in primary school, prime example, I'd be, like, I was the only chick on the boys' cricket team. Smash that out. I'd bowl them all out. Like, my best figures were 5-for-20 as a bowler. I'd be the only chick out there playing marks up and kicking the footy around the boys on the oval. I'd tackle them. Like, I just wouldn't care. So I've always been that type of, female, I suppose, growing up. And now, you know, I've always been in sort of, like, male dominated areas, and especially with DJ, because more and more females are starting to pop up. And like a lot of the larger international ones that I follow, like off the top of my head, can I list some?
Yeah, go for
it. Yeah, cool. So a lot of inspiration I draw from is like Hannah Wants, she's a really big UK DJ from Birmingham, from Birmingham. I discovered her when I first started DJing, and she was a huge inspiration for me at the time, and still is to this day, because she just plays wicked house music. Like, she plays the best fucking house music. And she's been DJing since she was 16, so she learned off of vinyl and can mix vinyl like back to front really well. Nice. And it's gone off, and now she's just like massive overseas, plays in Ibiza, over in Europe all the time, all those kind of things. Which is like, that to me, like goals, like actual goals. So she's sort of been my running partner in a sense of like, you know what a running partner is? Okay, so
I'm giving her a no look.
Yeah, the eyes. So running partner is when you you have like an idol or someone who's a bit of a role model for yourself that's further along in their career or the industry that you're in. And what you're doing is trying to not like copy them, but you're sort of, in a way, you're kind of mimicking what they're doing, and you're just following their example, but you do it in your own way, in your own sense. So you put your own taste and your own flavor onto it.
Yeah.
But you're sort of following their blueprint or their structure, and knowing that that's sort of the influence that you're drawing from them. So Hannah Wants was a big one for me. There's also Rez. Rez is unreal. Like, I think she's the same age, if not a little bit younger than myself, and she's massive. Like, she's a wicked producer. Like, she produces her own music too. These are all really big females in the EDM industry. So there's Hannah Wants, there's Rez. Anna Luno is massive for me. She's actually a mum now, because she's in her mid-30s, I believe. But yeah, I've met most of these female DJs. I met Hannah a couple of times, I met Anna once. Anna Luno's amazing. She runs her own brand called Hyper House. So she collaborates and works with a lot of the dudes in the industry and other female DJs as well, and artists. And she's created her own brands that I really draw to as well. Like, that's really cool. There's Whipped Cream. She's come up over the past couple of years, and she, again, big producer, really great DJ too. Saw her play, met her briefly as well when she came down to Adelaide. And there's just so many, like, I could keep on listing them, but you know, they're sort of the big ones for me that I've really, I don't want to say latched onto, but, you know, that I've really taken quite a strong interest in terms of what they do and the vibe that they put out. And, you know, that they're all so different in their own way.
Yeah.
Like, they do the same thing, but, you know, all the ones that I listed play their own genres.
Yeah.
They either produce or DJ or just DJ, and they've been working on their craft for years, and they just grind it out to get themselves to the position that they're at now.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And for me, it's a relentless progression, because at the end of the day, I go, well, you know, I always say, I always have to have tunnel vision, in a sense of, instead of being, you're not like unaware of what's going on beside you. But there's a lovely quote that goes, a flower does not think of competing to the flower next to it, it just blooms. And that was something that I really stuck by as a quote through all this, because there's a lot of competition out there, and Adelaide especially is a lot harder than other states and cities.
Yeah, fuck us.
You would understand. Because it's so small, and
it's a grind.
Anyone can be a DJ these days, so it's so small, and it's really competitive too.
Yeah.
And in Adelaide especially, like, the clubbing scene, it's like, yes, we're starting to see more venues pop up and more opportunities now start to come through, but, you know, you compare here to places like Sydney, Melbourne, for example, Brisbane even, where their nightclub scene is just so much larger. If I'm to stop what I'm doing, and if I'm, the minute I start focusing on someone else or what they're doing, and you know, I might get envious of the fact that someone else got a gig over me. That's even those couple minutes of me focusing on that has taken away my energy and effort that I could have been putting into myself and believing in myself.
Totally.
So when I say I almost have to have tunnel vision, it's like, yes, I'm aware of my surroundings and who's doing what, because I keep tabs on a lot of things and see what's going on. Like,
we have to be tapped into the market. Sure,
yeah, totally. So you got to keep it, you know, up to date and relevant. I think relevance is really important too, but at the end of the day, I just need to be really relentless in my progression and what I'm doing, because I'm not stopping for anyone or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So totally. It doesn't matter what fucking happens. I am like a steam train.
Yeah.
Like, just chugging along until I reach my destination.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
So when you're playing a gig, what ratio is it between what you would want to hear versus what you think the audience, like how much do you take into account? Because I think like, let's be real, like for me, my whole business concept is based on, I just want to do what the fuck I want to do.
Sure.
Right. But then at the same time, like you got to get real. So there has to be a balance between, I'm going to call it narcissism, and I know people will disagree with the use of that word, but that's true for me. So yeah, there has to be a balance between narcissism or that selfishness versus altruism and selflessness.
Sure.
So what's your ratio, would you say? Or does that vary depending on where you're at, or?
That's a good question. Ratio in terms of percentages?
You tell me.
Okay. I'd probably put it down to a percentage, but
yeah.
Put it this way, like all of the music I play, there is not in my sets, doesn't matter what gig it is, there is not one track that I play that I hate.
Yeah.
Cool, so cool. I always like the tracks of music that I'm playing.
Yeah.
Whether that, even if it is like somewhat commercial or mainstream,
yeah,
I still like it.
Yeah, cool.
So it might be prime example, like a private function or something like that. Like I did a 30th on the weekend, it was a very mixed crowd of people. It was actually probably one of the toughest gigs I've done because the venue, the location, the crowd that it was.
Mm.
I've played some awesome 21sts in the past where everyone just gets around and they just love it and they just like drinks are flowing, like they're chugging it down, like they just want to hear tunes, beats, and you just get them all up and dancing and whatever.
Yeah.
And then there are quite tough gigs where it's like, you know, you're sort of throwing everything at them and they're still not sort of biting until towards the end or at least halfway through. But like, okay, we're drunk enough, let's go dance.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like all the tracks I play that I like, on some level I like. So in terms of like, you know, keeping it real, I suppose that's where I've been able to hold true to myself in a sense of like, I'll not play music that I don't like.
Yeah. So it's sense. Always a flavor of Nikki.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So in terms of percentages, like, that's a good question.
you don't have to put numbers on it if you think you already answered it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I do like all the tracks that I play, but obviously like my ideal set would be like a real sort of underground house techno-y bass set. Tech house. And really tech house is my thing.
Yeah.
It's a tech house. The tagline for my radio show is all things bass, tech and wonky.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's sort of that, and it is me. Like that, my show, the Baseline Market, is 100% my product and 100% me. And I'll play whatever the fuck I want on there because that is 100% me. So I don't show I don't really stray away from that, if that makes sense. I don't need to cater for a particular, I don't need to take into consideration or who's listening to it, blah, 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 because it's a very niche market that I'm targeting and it's 100% me, and I will compromise. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I will not compromise with my radio show because that, like I said, is 100% me.
Yeah.
It's my show. I can do whatever the fuck I want on it. I can play whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
So 100% me in that. In terms of like a more commercial gig or in particular 21sts, obviously you do have to play more of those commercial mainstream tracks that gets everyone dancing. But you know, I'll play stuff like Lady Marmalade, you know, is a banger.
Yeah.
I was explaining this on my Snapchat story just last night. I wake up from whenever I've done a private gig or a function or something like that, or 21st or 30th, I always wake up the next day with a really sore neck and I'm like, why is my neck so sore? And it's because, you know what it's from?
What?
Because every time I play 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton, I headbang the shit out of that song. I'm not kidding. Like, that to me is a banger. Like, it's like, you know,
that is a good
making
tune.
My way downtown, walking fast, faces past the homebound. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Like,
yeah,
that,
it's a fucking tune.
That piano riff is unreal.
Yeah,
and it's so recognizable too.
Yeah.
But like, honestly, I'd love to know what the energy was in that room when they were recording that, because there is just so much oomph behind it. Like, someone who, like, I like to think I have a very eclectic taste in music. Like, I can listen to anything from, like, classical like 70s, 80s, 90s, like In Excess are one of my favorite bands. I still listen to their music. It's almost 2020. So I'll listen to stuff from that to, like, you know, Kate Renata, more sort of down tempo vibes, to like breaks to house, bass, tech, techno, dubstep, trap.
Yeah.
That's pretty much my spectrum, right? Yeah. So I can listen to anything from a classical, like Debussy kind of style stuff to freaking 150 BPM dubstep, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the complete opposite ends of the spectrum, but yeah, I'll always find the tracks that I like and just play that to the best of my ability.
Yeah, sick. Mm. It's got me thinking, hey, because I'm running an ecstatic dance event.
Yes, I saw that.
Early next month.
Yeah.
October 2nd, tickets are $20. That's a little plug. Yeah, and I've been like setting up the playlist for it. I'm like, fuck, like, this is actually hard. Like, you've actually got to put hell thought into it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I know what I'd want to get down to.
Sure. Yep.
But, like, I don't know what the vibe's going to be like in the room. I don't know, like, I don't necessarily, I know, like, the general, the gist of people who have bought tickets, like, I know some of them. I don't know all of them.
Mm.
So I'm like, I don't know who's going to be in the room. Like,
yeah,
it's fucking tough, man. So I take my hat off to you. I'm just going to fucking give them what I've got and hope that they vibe with it. And if not, they're probably not my people anyway. So,
well, I mean, everyone's there. Like, they're there specifically to come and dance. So I think if you just select what you think, how the day's going to play or the event, then you'll be right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's generally what I do. I sort of just take into account. But yeah, apart from DJing, I've just been really focusing on producing my own music as of late.
Nice.
I like to think I use the term aspiring music producer.
Fuck yeah.
I have been working on stuff recently, but again, it's like DJing. Like, I self-taught myself with DJing. I can do it properly in about, it took me at least two and a half years to fully grasp the concept of it and be able to do it well and say, okay, I can do this well. Funny thing is, when I had my first gig of DJing, I couldn't DJ.
Yeah.
I knew, like, very minimal skills, like, could do it, but the comparison between 19-year-old Mickey and almost 25-year-old Mickey is huge.
Yeah,
And I said that earlier when I sort of compare videos and stuff like that. But now it's like I'm really wanting to produce my music electronically, so EDM, electronic music, electronic dance music, or electronic music production, and you use a software or DAWs, they call them, DAWS, which is a digital audio workstation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm using Ableton at the moment, and I'm very much a beginner and in terms of my skill set and my level of understanding of the software too. But you know, like DJing, self-taught. You know, you can do anything, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I suppose, again, it's cliche saying you can do anything you put your mind to or blah, 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 but you really can.
It's fucking,
like,
true.
You really can, like, not honestly. And like I sent you something last night, like talking about, you know, tapping into your potential and knowing that everyone is limitless because on a conscious level, I think, was the term they use on a consciousness level, like everyone is limitless.
Mm.
It's just about tapping into your power and utilizing that and not holding back.
Mm.
So for me right now, I'm using as much spare time as I can to learning the ins and outs of Ableton and producing my own electronic dance music.
Fuck yeah.
House music. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. You have to share some of it with me.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, sick. So I know that you spend a fuckload of time doing self-development kind of stuff in general.
Yeah.
Look at you. Yeah, you're like, proud little kid. Here's my work. And I'm a big believer that regardless of the industry, regardless of the expression of it, like, you can fucking feel when someone's done the work on themselves versus when they haven't. Like, you know, I was saying to you before, and like for the listeners, I don't know whether I'll release this episode before or after, but I was chatting with Morgan Summers, who's a showgirl,
sure.
Just before, you know, I came to your place. And like, I guess I had this certain perception, even though I wasn't fully aware of it, that, you know, stripper, showgirl, whatever you want to call her, probably, you know, there's probably not a lot of substance there.
Sure.
And then sitting there chatting to her, the moment I walked into the room, I was like, this chick has fucking done the work on herself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there's a difference in energy. There's a completeness to the energy.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we kind of, I guess to come back to where we started, that's a lot of the difference between someone who's, say, an okay DJ and a fucking great DJ. Mm. Can you run us through kind of some of the stuff you are doing behind the scenes in terms of the self-development stuff? Big question.
Well, yes, it is a big question.
How much time we got?
As much time as you want. First of all, I love that question because this is 100% what I do all the time, basically. Mm. Like, I think every day. For me personally, I'm always working on myself. Mm-hmm. I'm always a work in progress. I'm mm-hmm. never going to be a finished or final product because yeah. there's always something that you recognize in yourself that you can, you know, adjust or change or alter. And mm-hmm. I think it's really important when you do have that level of self-awareness about yourself that you can see where your strengths are and what you're mm-hmm. really good at and what your weaknesses are mm-hmm. and how you can improve those.
Yeah.
So, I guess for me, like, I'm incredibly self-aware in terms of, you know, if I've made a mistake, because you're not perfect, like, no one's perfect.
Yeah.
You're going to make mistakes along the way. I suppose it doesn't really matter what you do. You're going to make those mistakes and slip-ups, but it's about being self-aware enough to, like, correct yourself
mm-hmm.
and adjust your course. So mm-hmm. I always think, I think I heard something once in a podcast that I listened to, but someone was sort of describing yourself as like a plane.
Yes.
Like when you get on a plane, you actually, I'm not even sure if it was you.
It might, yeah, I reckon it probably was because yeah. I preach on this all the time. Yeah. Yeah.
So when you get on a plane, like the pilots don't know the course that they're taking 100%. They don't know it to a T.
Yeah.
But what they do is they know the general direction that they're going and they yeah. continuously adjust the course yeah. according to the coordinates or whatever
yeah yeah
to get on the right track
yeah.
eventually they find themselves, you know, at their destination and yeah. can land clearly
yeah.
So I sort of apply the same principles to myself as a human, and you talk about, like, you know, we talk about like self-development and all that kind of thing. So in answer to your question, like the work that I do, I suppose during the week and behind the scenes, I'm a lot better at it now, but I still want to continue to develop more of a solid routine behind it. I think routine is very important too with how it all plays out. But
structure creates freedom.
Sure, exactly. Meditation is a big one for me. That okay. is something that I've been, like, I always heard about it over the past couple of years, but it's definitely been in the past 12 months especially that I've really knuckled down on just like meditating as much as I can, at least once a day if I can, even if it's for 10 minutes. Like, it just makes such a difference, those mm-hmm. 10 minutes. But lately I've been doing a lot more frequently and for longer durations too, mm-hmm. so for longer periods of time. Like, if I've got half an hour at night that I can sit down and just go and meditate, like, I cherish that half an mm-hmm. hour. And it's actually gotten to a point where I love meditating so much. It's like, I think once you're really settled in and you've taken some time to like work through it, you're really enjoying that moment of just sitting mm. there in silence and, you know, visualizing your future mm. and that kind of thing and how you want it to play out. So meditation is one,
mm-hmm.
being mindful. I listen to a ridiculous amount of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't get enough of it. I like to think of myself as a bit of a sponge and I just soak up as much
yeah.
information and,
fuck yeah.
You know, it's all self-development stuff, but, there are a lot of people on YouTube, for example, and Instagram that you know, that linked accounts or whatever that I've started following recently. So I think you might follow a couple of them yourself. But
yeah.
the ones I've discovered recently, there's Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Fuck yeah.
He is amazing. I actually just got his book. I just received his book in the mail the other week, Becoming Supernatural.
Yeah.
So I've just started reading that, and that's already looking like a fantastic read.
I think I should be getting like a cut of his profits for how many times his name gets dropped in my podcast.
Really?
Like, yeah, I'd be fucking
really. So other people mention him?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
This is the thing, right? Yeah. Like, I love, sorry, I'm just going to interrupt for a second here, but again, like, no matter what the field or the industry, the ones who are fucking kicking goals,
mm.
like there's common themes.
Sure.
You know, you're the second person today that's mentioned meditation, you know, right. Podcasts.
Yeah.
You know, like Phoebe Taylor, a previous guest, she was talking about Dr. Joe Dispenza recently, you know, so there's success leaves clues.
Sure.
You know, you got to look at each individual person and the ones who are the greats in their chosen field or are heading in that direction and go, okay, well, what are they all doing?
Mm.
It leaves clues.
That, yes, I agree with 100%, but it's to me, it's also like just overall life achievement and how your life's going in general, despite your chosen field that you know, choose to work in. Apart from that, like, I sort of look at it as a whole as well, like a whole picture, and go, okay, life in general, how can I dominate this? How can I smash it out?
Yes.
Yeah. Fucking go for it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, your craft is your life.
Sure.
It's all the same, right? Like, like you might be a professional bodybuilder, but how you show up with your, you know, ultimately as a bodybuilder, you are a business, you know? Ultimately as a bodybuilder, you have to have mastered relationships in order to excel as a bodybuilder. You know, you obviously nutrition and all of that comes into it. Your finances will impact how well you do as a bodybuilder.
Totally.
Like everything.
Yeah.
It's all the same machine. They're just slightly different cogs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So Joe Dispenza is one of them. I'll name drop a couple more because they deserve recognition and for other people to listen to them because
Brown of Oli. Yes.
Lewis Howes is a really great one.
Yeah.
Listen and watch a lot of his podcasts. Marissa Peer.
Yeah.
You've heard of Marissa Peer. I've got one of her books. Kyle Cease is a guy that I just discovered recently. So he's a former comedian that has now combined transformation and comedy into the one.
Fuck yes.
He's great.
I love that shit when people take like kind of niche crafts like that and make him a platform for transformation. Yes.
Yeah. So I highly recommend looking up some of his stuff because I just came across him like in the past week and a bit. And I'm like, who is this guy? I've never heard of him before.
Yeah.
His, like, the way he talks about just life in general and like the idea of transformation and, you know, actually transforming yourself into being like, you know, the greatest version of yourself, that kind of thing, which is, I know that's pretty much
my jam.
That's pretty much what you do. Like, that is what you do, which is fantastic. Like, I love that kind of stuff so much. So following, you know, people like that, like there's a few more that I could easily list off that have helped me quite a lot in terms of like, you know, listening to podcasts and stuff like that. But yeah, they're probably the main ones that I've been listening to recently that have really helped my mindset, because at the end of the day, it is a mindset too. And like you touch on this like quite a bit with your work too. It's like, you know, human optimization, I love it, like all about that. And it's like, how can I be the best possible version of myself? Not just today, but, you know, say, for example, I've got an important gig coming up, you know, I'll come down to everything. And like in my meditations, like just visualizing that best version of myself. And I'll go right down to like, you know, just the interactions that I have with people, how I walk into the club or the venue, like me greeting myself or introducing myself, because a lot of the time, if I haven't played in a venue before, I need to go up and introduce myself to the manager, the bar manager or the venue manager or whatever.
Yeah.
Just about, hey, I'm Mickey, I'm your DJ for tonight. I'm playing for a couple of hours, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just simple things like that. Meditation, podcasts, mindfulness, eating healthy, keeping my insides quite, you know, healthy and stuff during the week. And gym is just 100% been my anchor. Through everything. I've been going to gym for almost 4 years now, but you know, just keeping my physical fitness up and smashing out weight. It's honestly, I cannot stress enough how fantastic and great the gym has been for me through anything. It's honestly like, I sort of think of myself as a bit of a ship sometimes and the gym is just my anchor.
Yeah.
100%. Like it keeps me grounded, gives me clarity.
Yeah.
Just everything.
Yeah.
So great.
On that, the example with the gym, like, because obviously, like, gym's been a massive part of my life for 7 or 8 years now.
Cool.
And it's something that since I've really put a lot more of my focus on business, I find that there was a period of time where things would get really hectic with business and I'd go, okay, well, I don't have time for the gym. And looking back on that, everything takes a hit when I exclude the gym from my life.
Sure, yeah.
And so it wasn't until actually recently when I went to the Gold Coast and I got to spend some time with some big, like, you know, really high level individuals in the self-development and coaching realms, that I got to witness how they'd show up when times were, you know, when business was hectic, and seeing that gym was a non-negotiable, even if it meant getting up at four in the morning or four, you know, or having to have a really late night. It's a non-negotiable, because how you show up physically does set the scene for how you show up in every other aspect, and vice versa. You know, they're interdependent, but it's now a non-negotiable in my life. And so, you know, it's really cool to see the difference between when I used to exclude the gym because things were busy versus, well, gym first and then the rest, you know. And funnily enough, I seem to find that when I make the gym a non-negotiable, I still get everything done.
You know?
Even though I'm taking an hour out or whatever, I still manage to get everything done because my vitality is a lot higher.
Yeah, 100%. And that's exactly the mindset that I have. Like, gym for me has been a non-negotiable for 4 years as well. Like, it is my number one priority. Yeah. Like, if we're talking about, like, priorities and stuff like that, my health is my number one priority. Yeah. Because if I'm not up to standard, the rest of my work isn't up to standard.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah. Physical mental health is just number one. And I can't not see myself going now. I actually hate not going.
Yeah.
I hate not going. If I skip one day, I'm like, what am I doing? and I noticed, panic. Yeah, literally. And I noticed the difference too, because I work during the week as well. Like, I work for Levi's as a rep for the company during the week. So, I do visual merchandising, customer service and general selling. So, but the role itself is my official title is a sales stylist and representative of Levi's, Strauss and Co. But like already, like, if, see, because I work like, you know, at least a 7 hour shift during the day. Like, if I want to go to the gym, I've got to get my ass up at like 6:30, get to the gym by 7.
Yeah.
7 or 8. Yeah. And that's like, to me, that's like quite an early morning for a workout. But the hardest part is when you're sort of just like laying in bed and you're just looking up, you're like, fuck, I don't want to get out. Like, I'm so warm and comfortable, and especially during winter. But once you're in the gym and you're just working through your sets and you're listening to your music or you're pumping out some tunes, and even afterwards, I thank myself for much.
No one ever regrets a workout.
No, of course not. And it's like, for me, like, you know, you talk about vitality. It's like, if I do my workout at the beginning of the day, I have got so much energy throughout the rest of my day that, you know, I don't like training at night.
Yeah.
Because it's like, once I've finished work, like, I finished at 5 o'clock, I'm sort of like mentally clocked off. You know what I mean? Like, I've done work for the day, but it's like, the only time I will train at night is if I go to a HIIT class or something like that. But apart from that, it's like, oh man, I've got to train now. What? No, like, I've already done the work today. Yeah. So I much prefer training and working out in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm definitely a morning person for that.
Yeah.
You know, I can do whatever else for the rest of my day, get that done and out the way, and then the whole day to do whatever.
Yeah. So I'm curious, have you seen the Avicii doco on Netflix?
I have. I love documentaries.
Cool.
A lot of music documentaries.
Yeah. What's your take on that? Because I feel like DJing and anything in the entertainment industry can be a slippery slope, because obviously, you know, you have to be a night owl. So it's going to fuck with your circadian rhythm. Like, it does mean being around some interesting energies. Like, there's a lot going on because you've got people drinking or on drugs or whatever. There is a strong, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess there can be pressures to go out and, you know, like,
get involved with that.
Get around it. Sure. You know, that party lifestyle.
Yeah.
So what's your take on Avicii's story? Because I watched that and was like fucking sponging that shit up because it was like, I see it, you know. Obviously I work heavily with a lot of entertainers, and so I fucking see it where, you know, it's a given up on stage with a Southern Comfort or whatever, you know.
My take on it, I thought it was quite interesting because, again, you don't really understand, like, that lifestyle. I believe a lot of it comes down to lifestyle choices and how well you take care of yourself. And it was sort of towards the end of the documentary that you start to see him training and working out and him feeling better about himself. But beforehand, he wasn't really doing much of it. I know he drank a lot, like alcohol, obviously, and, like, any sort of substance like that plays a huge part. Like, it does affect your mental health quite a bit. So for me, like, I was, like, I don't take anything, but I do love drinking.
Yeah.
But I know my limits at the same time. So, again, sort of coming back to, like, being self-aware, just knowing your limits and stuff like that. And it also depends on the night because, like, if I'm partying, I'll leave my car at home, go to my gig, drink and catch an Uber into town, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
but recently I've just been driving to my gigs, walk up to my gig, have a couple of drinks, go home after that.
Yeah,
that's my night, you know.
Yeah.
Go do my job, earn my money, do my thing and then go home.
Yeah.
In terms of the Avicii documentary, yeah, like, it, and I suppose I've only really experienced it predominantly from Adelaide, although I have been overseas. I did do a couple of gigs in LA last year. When I went around, when I went over to America. So that was good. That was a very nice bit of exposure there. They weren't huge club gigs or anything like that, but again, it was like foot in the door with that sort of...
Still counts.
Yeah, exactly. With that scene of things and... it does come down, I guess, to the places that you're at or in, because LA was very different in that regard. Like, there was a lot of that going on there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had to be quite sensible about that sort of thing, because to me, I'm like, well, I'm in a different environment. I'm in a different place. I don't know the place very well. Like, I had people there and I had my dad there too, which obviously helped quite a bit. But, you know, yeah, for me, I love mental clarity.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really fuck with things that fuck with my mental clarity.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of the Avicii documentary, like, he obviously delved into like the alcohol side of things quite heavily. And, I believe a bit of drugs too at the beginning as well. And that really affects your health in terms of like mentality and mindset and stuff like that. And I think just in general, like, he obviously overworked himself, and like, I remember him saying like constantly throughout the documentary, like, he's got so much, like, he was just really anxious throughout the whole thing, but like, he wasn't even doing anything at the time. So it's like, yeah, I suppose mindset is huge in terms of that, because if it was me, I'd be like, I would have loved to be in his position if he was still alive, like, just being out, because that's my end goal, like, going out and performing in front of like thousands of people, that kind of thing. Like, I thrive off that. I think it comes down to like obviously from my perspective, he didn't have the best mindset and mentality behind it. I also think his support team probably wasn't the greatest. Like, he had a couple of people behind him, but I remember watching that and thinking his booking agent was an absolute asshole, because even towards the end, when he was like, no, I don't want to do any more shows, they were still booking him for shows. And it's like, didn't you fucking listen to him? He said no, and he said it quite clearly too. Like, he was very adamant and stern in him telling him that, and then they just wanted to book him anyways for the money.
Yeah.
Because he's obviously a big name, and he brings in numbers and money and that kind of thing. So that's probably, like, I suppose the negative sides of the industry that you'd see, especially with nightlife and clubbing and DJing, music, entertaining, all that sort of stuff. But it just goes to show, like, the dude was obviously really fucking talented, and he just loved making the music. He just didn't want to go out and perform it.
Yeah,
he didn't want to be in that situation where he was just, you know, wanting it to be 100% perfect all the time. He just wanted to make the music and enjoy it. But obviously he was, you know, really pushed into that, you know, you have to go out and do all these shows. And I couldn't believe, like, the tally of shows that he did, like, throughout the documentary. It just kept telling
me
many shows he did. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, that to anyone would be, overwhelming,
totally.
You know? Like, your senses and, like, especially, like I said, being a night owl, it's like, you know, your sleeping patterns are fucked. So, like, your body clock's out of alignment, you know what I mean? So, I think it's about finding those, like, pillars that you have, like, you know, your physical fitness, because I know a lot of... a couple of DJs I do know that, like you said earlier, take that real holistic approach, put their health first. So, a few DJs that I've heard before talk in the past are quite well known now, especially in the Australian industry. I've heard them say whenever they get to an interstate gig, the first thing that they do is find a gym and they just go and work out for an hour.
Yeah.
And then that for them is like something that keeps them like structured and grounded throughout, you know, touring especially.
Yeah.
I hope that answers your question.
It does, it does. okay, controversial, but Avicii, suicide or murder?
I don't think it was a murder. I just reckon the dude was overdone.
Yeah.
I just reckon he obviously just... I have to admit, I did watch it quite a while ago. It's not something I watched recently, so I'm just trying to remember
the
actual movie. But I don't think it was a murder. I think he just obviously, had a bit of a... I think it was an overdose that he died from, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and I think because he was having a lot of health issues along the way too, and they touched on that quite a bit, like liver problems and stuff like that, I believe.
I think he had pancreatitis and all sorts of crazy shit.
Something like that. And, you know, you just looked at the dude throughout the thing and he just looked unhealthy. Like, you don't look like a healthy guy. So I think, just a lot of not having the right support around him that he needed at the time.
Yeah.
Not the best mindset towards things, being very harsh on yourself. That combined with drugs, alcohol, lack of sleep, all the ingredients that it would require. And if you do that for a long enough period of time, your body's just going to shut down. Totally. It's just gone, no, I can't take this anymore. Like, you're putting far too much pressure and stress on me. I'm tapping out. See you later.
Yeah.
So, I it might not even have been suicide. It might just have been something that just happened overnight or whatever. And you just, his body couldn't hack it anymore.
Mm.
I think that was my take on it anyways.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's true is another question.
I'm low-key team conspiracy.
You reckon it was a murder?
Okay.
But who? Like, that'd have been my next question. It's like, who would do it? Like,
do we go down this rabbit hole?
I don't have to through this.
Otherwise, we're going to be here for like another hour.
Yeah.
I think time's already marching on.
Yeah.
All right, social media. Let's start to wrap it up. Where can people find you?
Cool. Yeah, so social media plugs.
Go for it.
My handles.
Hit me.
Hit you. So at the moment, it's just my first and last name. So Mickey McFadden, spelled M-I-K-I. Last name McFadden, McFayden, so at Mickey McFadden. There, the majority of my handles on my Facebook page, Instagram and SoundCloud. My radio show, The Baseline Marker, I do have a podcast series of that currently online on SoundCloud, and I feature guest DJs on there from time to time. I try and keep it time structured. I say once a month, but it's really not once a month, it's just whenever I get around to it. I do have the next episode of that going online though very shortly. The last guest that I had on the show, I had Seek and Destroy on the show.
Fuck yeah.
Which was fantastic. The guy absolutely smashed it. He had such a great attitude towards the whole thing, super helpful. He was a really great guy to work with. So that's the next episode going up. So that's a part of the Baseline Market series, I call it, or the Baseline Market podcast series. So people who don't get to listen to the show on Saturday nights, because it is quite late, not everyone gets to listen to it. If they want to listen back to a few episodes, I have those up on SoundCloud, and featuring guest DJs as well. So that's a good point of contact if you want to listen to my mixes and the music that I'm into. And down the track, we'll be releasing my own music as well in terms of edits and originals and stuff like that, original music too. So, and Facebook. And I'm pretty active on Instagram with my stories and stuff. So that's probably the best place to find me, I'd say.
Fuck yeah. Cool.
Cool.
Thank you, heaps.
You're very welcome.
So there we have it. You all know the drill. I'm going to invite you to check out more of my socials. And just on that note, inviting you to actually like really keep an eye out, because a few things have been changing in my life, as is the nature of a major sea change. And I'm really, really deeply fucking committed to really starting to share some potent shit, right? Because I've become aware of how, to some degree, I've been, I guess, unconsciously holding back. And as I've had more and more discussions with people, I've realized the extent to which this is actually not serving anyone. It's not serving me, and it's not serving you guys. So I'm making the commitment to share more of the inner workings of my mind, as opposed to just being purely the platform here on the Live Free Experience for my guests. And I will be rolling out some new things on the socials over the coming months. So as always, Instagram, Brianna Bowley, Facebook, Brianna Bowley Coach. If you want to follow along with my mindset coaching for peak performance and human optimization through the Live Free Movement, you can search Live Free Movement on both Instagram and Facebook. If you want to check out my educational platform, the Live Free Academy, for athletes, entertainers, entrepreneurs, and influencers to learn all the things that you didn't know you needed to know in order to thrive in your chosen field, you can find us at www.thelivefreeacademy.com.au or by searching the Live Free Academy on both Facebook and Instagram. And finally, if you want to follow along with the Live Free Experience, we're over on both Facebook and Instagram as well. Obviously by searching the Live Free Experience. And finally, you know, I harp on this all the time. Please like, share, comment, leave a review, whatever you got to do. Let's help spread this message. The bigger we can grow this platform, you know, the bigger the influence. Obviously, you know, there's a heavy entertainment, heavy sporting theme to it. And so, you know, don't ever underestimate how much it's these little things like the Live Free Experience podcast that help to send these niche industries a little bit more mainstream and really create a massive ripple effect in the world. Now, we're going to close off today's episode with a track from one of Adelaide's very own hip-hop artists, Sam Paul. Now, Sam is also an advocate for mental health, speaking on real-life topics, and this track is a little bit of a different vibe from what we've had on the show previously. And as always, I'm going to leave all of the links for you to go and grab more or learn more, a little bit more about Sam in the show notes. But just in case you do want to go and check out right off the bat his social media, you can find him on YouTube at Sam Paul Beats, on both Twitter and Instagram at Sam Paul Beats, or on Facebook at Sam Paul Official, or at sampaulbeats.bandcamp.com. Today's track is called Fall Down. It's a Happy Tech remix. And until next time, what else is possible?
I'm tripping, I'm slipping, I'm falling down. Try to get a grip, but I almost drown. The water's dark, I fought with the sharks. Life has never been a walk in the park. In so deep that I can't get out of it. Did a lot of shit, but I've not been proud of it. These days are hard and I need a fix. It barks and bites, this life's a bitch. I've chased the stars, walked alone. When the shit went down, I was on my own. Running out of answers, chances blown. Not even any friends on the phone. When the shit hit the fan, I was unprepared. It was like being trapped in a nightmare. But I'm right here, so it's quite clear that I won't go out without a fight. We fall down, then we rise again. We fall down with new size and strength. We fall down, and it's not bad luck. We're only down so that we can get up. We fall down. Back when I sit and reminisce to an old track, when I pop two shots of scotch to pick me up, and then I find I'm climbing out of the rut. I try to take each lesson like it's a blessing, but at times I'm stressing. That can mess with the mind. I try to unwind this peace I'll seek till I find. Hit the booth and I spit truth. Think you can't get up? Look at me, I'm living proof. What goes around comes around. We all fall down, but then we get up and stand our ground. Sometimes we lose, sometimes we might win, but we gain new strength and go at it again. What goes around comes around. We all fall down, but then we get up and stand our ground. We fall down, then we rise again. We fall down with new size and strength. We fall down, and it's not bad luck. We're only down so that we can get up. We fall down. We fall down.
down. Bitch, I'm chasing stars, I'm getting a fall down. We fall down.